Okay. Any other questions from the latest financials?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
When are we going to be able to release these to the general public?
As soon as the National Finance Committee says that it's okay and then sends that to the board to approve, the national board to approve. Is that my understanding of the how that works, James?
No, we don't usually send them to the national board. We just, in the past, we had some problems when there were some serious inaccuracies in the financials. So we wanted to review them first with NEDA, and then we would release them after that. So basically after, you know, we got them 2 weeks ago, we've had 2 weeks to review them. So if there's no other issues or questions going forward tonight, then, you know, they will be suitable for release after tonight, after the end of this conversation, as a matter of fact. And, you know, the directors on the committee all have them, so they can provide them. What we used to do, Stephanie, and I think we're going to hopefully continue the same process, is that, in fact, well, when NEDA was preparing them and they got them, then they sent them to the general managers, they sent them to the executive director, to the chair of the board, to the finance committee, all at the same time. I think now you're doing a little slightly different step, whereas since the general managers and, you know, the stations are where they're coming from, you're checking with them first, then coming to us with it, and then, you know, then it can be released to the LSBs and anywhere else that people want to release it. It's public information.
Yeah, and the last set of consolidated financials, you guys actually got them first, and then they were sent to the general managers. And I think that's the same thing that happened with this, is that you all got them first, and then I separate out each division's tab. So then, you know, for example, WPFW will get their spreadsheet and the consolidated financials of the whole division, and they get sent to them separately. But you guys have gone first.
Do you prefer to do it that way, Stephanie? I mean, when we had an outside entity doing this, it made sense for them to send it to all of the important people that needed to see it at the same time. But if you'd rather have us see it first and then send it to the general managers, that's okay too. I mean, the general managers already know what theirs are, because that's how you got the information to send it to us in the first place. But
it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I've been sending it to you guys first, because the last time we got it just a few minutes right before the meeting, so I didn't have a chance to get in and pull everything out individually. So you got it sent to you literally 5 minutes after it was sent to me.
Right.
And then that next day I broke everything apart and gave it to the general managers. And then over the last 2 weeks, we have been meeting. And as I said, I still have a meeting with the archives. I mean, I'm not sorry, the archives, the affiliates on Thursday will be going over the financials. But usually there isn't, you know, that major of changes. Most of the general managers have just been very good, not even having to meet. Again, they'll just send an email that says all looks good, or just off by a couple thousand dollars, you know, that kind of thing.
Good. So I guess the question was, do we need to do a policy change here from where we are, or, you know, can we just have that continue the way it is? Or Paul, I guess I'd like to ask you that. Do you have an opinion on that?
However it gets filtered out, as long as we get it very, NFC gets it very early in the whole thing, that's good. My thing is, we need to release these things. And I mean, hold on a second. Pardon me. We need to, take the whole thing that shows the whole consolidated spreadsheet and be able to send it out to everyone publicly. So I think that's the main thing I was talking about.
And that would include, obviously, the LSBs and the finance committees, right?
Yeah, that's where it's posted. And from there, of course, it will sort of trickle out to the rest of the universe.
Right. Do you have any issue with that, Stephanie? That sounds like a good plan.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in there. Yeah, I mean, the information, I've always just kind of assumed, too, that when this committee sees it, and since they're treasurers of each of those committees and the general managers have seen them, that it's, you know, kind of up to those representatives from each station to then share it with their local finance committee. I mean, I would hope that if there are questions that are when the finance committee first sees the financials, that the treasurers that are representatives of each of those stations would present those questions. And if they have changes as well, then, I mean, in a perfect world, the treasurers of the station, since they are involved in the finances, that they would pretty much be familiar with these finances as well when they were being, when we received them and the information.
Well, we've been saying, you know, you sort of got to get clearance to say, yes, we can release this now, because if you remember in the past number of months, we've had some where the caveat has been, hey, you know, some of this might not be quite correct. Let's hold on to this to make sure it's right. And, you know, so we do have to have a mechanism of release for these things. So it can't just be that you send it to us and we send it out to the world. It has to be, you know, oh, yeah, we've looked over this enough and there are no horrifying errors in there. So, yeah, you can release it now.
Yeah, and I think that's what our policy has been,
yeah,
and that's what it will continue to be. So that's not really a change. I don't think we need to address it in terms of a policy change. And so as of tonight, since now we've reviewed it, we've had questions and answers about it, then it's now fair game to pass out.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions about the latest financials?
Come out of the stat.
Go ahead, come out.
I'm looking at our financials. I just want to make sure I'm interpreting this correctly. So all of this is a cash basis financial. Is that correct, Stephanie?
We do accrual accounting.
Okay. So you have invoices in here that aren't necessarily paid in the month.
Correct.
So for example, if your rent wasn't paid, you're going to accrue that number into the rent expense.
Correct.
Okay. So then my next question is moot then, I guess, because I was trying to understand. It sounded like earlier you were saying we're doing some cash basis accounting that the bank statements should tie out to what's happening on your financials, but that is not correct.
Well, and that's where there's a disconnect often, is that the station, if they're doing their own accounting, they can look at, people will look at the spreadsheet and they'll say, oh, the station is raising tons of money, but we don't have any, that kind of thing. So what we're trying to stress to the people that may not be, you know, that are using QuickBooks or another form, is that they may enter the bills as received, but they haven't been paid. And so, I mean, the notice that we sent out to everybody basically was, says just because you do not enter the bills as they are received, or enter, you know, central services or healthcare or rent or office rent each month, does not make them any less due. If you're going to continue entering into QuickBooks or whatever accounting system you may be using, you really need to enter everything as it is received, not just when the bill is paid. Otherwise, people get a false perception of the actual financial state of your division or department.
I agree. So then that kind of tells me then there may not be bank reconciliations happening. Is that a fair statement?
That's again, then where we run into an issue where we've told people too, is we will do the bank reconciliations. Just send us your monthly statements and we will do them. We have volunteers on finance committees at pretty much each of the stations. If they don't want to do the bank or don't understand bank reconciliations, that we will do it for them. And at some of the stations, I don't know if there's people that just don't want to admit that they can't do it. We had at one station a year backlog of bank reconciliations, and it doesn't matter how many times Netta was telling them, we'll do it for you, or Markeisha and I saying, we will do it for you. They just go MIA. And it's like, we're not here to reprimand you. We're not here to call you out. We're here to help. We're here to relieve one more burden of something that you have to do just so we can get our financials stable and current, and we know what we're looking at. We can correctly project out our cash flow. But everybody just, you know, not everybody, that's a generalization, but there's a high percentage of people, whether they're volunteers or staff, that just are in a constant state of, I'm going to get yelled at, I'm going to get reprimanded, somebody's being hostile. You know, it's like, no, we're literally just here to help you. We want to help get a grasp on this. But there's, you know, everybody kind of goes to the negative first. And again, that's just kind of an overall culture of Pacifica that we're trying to fix also.
I think, thank you. I have one small follow up if I could. Thank you. So then on the accrual basis, and maybe this isn't happening because I've never seen a balance sheet, but do we, in terms of the revenue now, do we set up, and I may be thinking of this as a different industry, but in terms of the revenue, if I'm donating to a station and I've given $100, but I've pledged $1,000 over the next X amount of months, are we setting up a receivable for that number? Or is that just only when cash received are we recognizing the revenue?
Well, it would be spread out over revenue that would be coming in. So it would be spread out over the month as revenue. And again, with a more simplified budget form, it could be listed even as you know, listener support pledges. It's just like the monthly. You know, when we have somebody coming in as, you know, a monthly supporter, they're technically pledging that money. And it's listed out as, we know that, you know, on the 20th of every month, we're getting this amount of money from BAI Buddies. We're getting this amount of money from our monthly sustainers at KPFK. And we can project that out as revenue during that month.
Okay. I guess what I was trying to get at, I guess in a particular fund drive, and again, this comes from some of the committee meetings that we have locally, some of the pledge drives, there's a number that comes up always, 300,000, 350,000, whatever that number is. And there's always this kind of back and forth between management and the committee trying to understand, is it cash? Is it people saying we pledge to give you a certain amount over time? Like what is that number? And so, you know, we're having a very hard time trying to understand that. So I was trying to see on your end, was there something you all might be doing that captures not actually the cash, but the pledges that individuals have made and that you'll release that money as it comes in. And we're kind of setting up a receivable. Does that make sense in terms of what I'm saying, that we expect this to happen, so we've got sort of like an accounts receivable out there, and then once Kamau Harris, you know, fulfills that pledge, that receivable is drawn down. That's not happening though, right?
Yeah, no, and that's exactly, again, when it goes back to coding, whether it's money that's being coded in revenue or whether it's expenses that are being coded out when the bill is paid. Is that we need to know when somebody's raised, you know, when a station is raised $300,000 in their pledge drive, how much of it is money that was paid? How much is it money that was pledged? Are we reaching out and getting those pledges on a regular basis? How many times have, you know, people pledged money and then they just never pay it? So are we keeping track of that? Are we sending bills? Are we asking for people to, you know, renew their membership or renew their pledge? You know, so those are things that it's all, again, a matter of coding when that revenue comes in. And if it's not being coded and listed properly, we're only putting into Great Plains with the reports that we pull out what we're told. So if we're told that you have $350,000 in revenue from our records, it looks like you have $350,000 in cash. We won't know that you don't have that until we see the bank statement and see, oh, okay, only $200,000 was actually paid. Are you taking out your credit cards? You know, is there how much of that was pledged? How much of it was restricted? How much of it are we writing off because the person didn't make the pledge? You know, whatever that may be. So it's all a matter of how is it coded when it's first put in? How is it looked at? Because if we know we can present you had a pledge, you know, that somebody's pledged this much over a year or a sustaining donor, we know then that we can count on that money every month. And that's where we're sending out, you know, station sending out emails and sending, you know, out reminders, thank you for your payment. Or, you know, just to remind you, you have this other payment coming up, following up with them if a credit card has expired. You know, and all of those things can be done automatically from Allegiance. But they can't be done automatically unless they're put in properly and coded properly. And those little ticklers are set up to say, you know, you're going to get a reminder that this much is going to be deducted from your account because you set up a pledge to WPFW and we thank you for your support, you know, those kind of things. But a lot of, you know, I don't know if there's the bandwidth or the staff that is able to keep up with that data and that input on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you so much for that, Stephanie.
Of course. Our Paul for stack. James.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, sorry. I'm recognizing you, our Paul, but I just want to remind everyone that we are now over time for this item, and we have one more item on our agenda that I hope to get to. Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. Basically, okay, you're saying we're now on an accrual basis. Basically, what we've had for the years I've been on this, and by the way, tonight marks 15 years of me being on this, we've had a mix of cash and accrual in all of this, which invariably means that someone will step into a gooey pile of accrual when they think they're talking about cash, and it always happens. I mean, are we doing things differently from the way we've been doing them all these years, or is it really we just have a mix of cash and accrual in all of the financial statements?
The mix is because people aren't moving into what we've always wanted to do accrual. NEDA always did accrual, regardless of the number of times and trainings that they worked to try to tell people this is how we do our accounting. We might possibly have people at stations that are doing accounting that maybe don't understand the difference. We have people that are sitting on finance committees, not anybody on this committee, but we have certain people that may be on a local station that don't understand the difference. Or, you know, they want to only use, you know, why aren't we all moved over to QuickBooks or something? But for, you know, our auditing purposes, that doesn't give us the paper trail that we need. And even if a station affiliate, for example, they want to do a QuickBooks, they're used to that. That's how where their billing system is. That's great. And now we're integrating that into Great Plains. You know, so it's just that it may be something that historically it's been cash and accrual, but it isn't been something that we've been wanting to happen throughout the years. It's just that people aren't changing the way they're doing it because they're comfortable with how it's been done.
Okay, my point being, we're still doing that, right?
Right.
Right, okay, thank you.
And Julie to the stack.
Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, at one point I sat down and read all of the, okay, I speed read them, don't give me a quiz, but I read all of the audits that we had available from our website. And basically we have always represented that we do, or at least always for the last 20 years, maybe a little bit longer, represented that our accounting is on an accrual basis. So I think Stephanie's right that, you know, once upon a time we may well have done cash accounting, but once we switch to accrual, you know, we basically still have, you know, some units where people operate on a cash basis, and so we really do have this extremely confusing world, you know, where, you know, it's just really difficult to talk. And, you know, I mean, yeah, sorry, I could go on a rant. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to establish there. Yes, is that we're exactly what you're saying. We're doing it this way as we've been doing it still. There's been no gigantic world-changing change on it. As of now, we still have a mix in reality.
Yes, although if you read our audits, it says that we do our accounting on an accrual basis. And in principle,
yeah, that's the audit.
We do our accounting on an accrual basis. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who, despite the fact that our books are kept on an accrual basis, think about doing accounting and do it mentally in their heads as if it were on a cash basis.
Yeah, I mean, the audits are one thing. I'm talking about the financials and the fact that now and again we stumble into something and we need to query, is that particular line right there, is that item, is that number an accrual or cash? My point is we have to always keep in mind that we need to determine if it's accrual or cash, any particular number. Because everybody has stepped in that at some point, almost
right.
Everybody.
Right, but the key is moving forward, which is how we always should have been doing it, is accrual-based accounting. And
okay, so we're going to do that, but we're not doing it yet.
Right, and when Netta came aboard, they kept saying we're accrual-based accounting. And even when we would try to explain things with local finance committee meetings or at LSB meetings, there were still quite a few people that just didn't quite understand the difference between them. And regardless of even if the stations or people are comfortable with cash-based accounting, Pacifica Foundation is accrual-based. That's what we should be doing. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we state that we're doing. If people are still moving into the world of just cash, they are doing it wrong. But it's been a tour for Netta to try to push that through, and the same follow through with explanations to people when Marquisha or myself are trying to explain the financials to people. They, you know, it's like, well, we always do a cash. We always do cash accounting, so we're going to stick with cash accounting. Well, you know, sorry, no. That's not how we do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, our Paul. All right.
I'm just very confused. It sounds like to me as if you have either very insubordinate employees or passive aggressive. If you say we need to do it this way and they continue to do it some other way, or they can't handle it but they won't tell you, so they're tying up the resources of this foundation where you don't understand what's going on because they won't give you the information that you need. Are these people paid? Are they paid employees that are acting like this? I'm just confused. I'm hoping this somehow. I mean, if there have been jobs that I've been in where I didn't like the job, and actually, when I look back upon some of the behavior, it really wasn't. I mean, I wasn't doing anyone a favor, okay? And if these are the people that are supposed to be in charge of this job, but they're not doing it, don't we have to reprimand them or move them out the door?
May I take a stab at that, Stephanie?
Yeah.
This is the chair. I just want to say to Teresa that, you know, when we were flush with cash and we, you know, were a well-oiled machine and functioning flawlessly, that was a world in which the stations had business managers and we had staff and we had people to do all of these things. I'm trying to figure out now, I think we may only have one station that has an actual business manager. I think we have another unit that has a business manager, but that's it. So you have managers at stations whose job description was never being a business manager are having to perform that function. And that's why, thank God, we have Markeisha doing this on the national level. And whatever filters up to her is what she has to work with to then turn it into accrual-based accounting, as Stephanie's been describing. Is that a thumbnail sketch of what's going on, Stephanie?
It is. It is. And it's difficult because, yeah, there are people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's one of many things that's been added to their job descriptions that aren't part of their job description ever. And it's, you can be tough and sort of, you know, say this is what you have to do. And then at the same time, it's like, well, I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years and it's not even part of my job description. And I, you know, we don't have an HR department even. So it's, there's so many little moving parts. And again, I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody, but it's very difficult to, you know, sort of tell somebody that you're not doing this accounting properly and this is how you need to do it. And they're saying, well, I'm not even an accountant and I shouldn't even be doing this. And then you have individuals that may be on local finance committees that are saying, I'll help you with it, but I'm not going to do it accrual because I want to do it the way I do it because that's how we've always done it in the past. And so now you're kind of managing. It's like, okay, but that's not how we're supposed to be doing this as a foundation. And then it just kind of turns into this, you know, 15 to 20 emails of people calling me a sexist racist because I'm asking them to do accrual accounting as a volunteer. So, I mean, that's kind of to the extreme, but it's a very slow process to make sure that we're keeping everybody happy and that I'm not really trying to overwork a lot of people and trying to explain to them, then let us take that, again, let us take that burden from you and let us help you with this. Well, now are you taking this job away from me? Because I've been doing it for the last 15 years or whatever, that, you know, that may be. So it is very frustrating when people aren't giving me reports that I'm asking for or the numbers that I want in a faster basis or that I have to send out 5, 6 emails asking people for something that should be as simple as pushing a button. You know, I mean, I should be able to get into Allegiance myself and just hit a button and pull donor reports. I can't. I don't have access to it. So I have to ask people to pull reports. And then they say, well, I haven't put the information into the report because we really don't have the manpower to keep Allegiance up to date. Okay, well, then just again, give what you have. So it's kind of, unfortunately, this very vicious cycle. And we're just trying to get the information that we can get from people when they can get it as quickly as they can get it based upon their schedule. Is it fast enough? No. Is it accurate? No. But, you know, trying to work with what we have.
Do you foresee that we can survive an audit operating this way?
Yes, because we've been operating this way through all the other audits that were done. I mean, it's difficult. We're trying to, one of the things with our auditors from last year, the people that were involved last year, is that they, toward the end of the time, refused to even be on the phone calls because there were so many questions of people saying, well, why aren't you doing it this way? Or why, you know, and questioning the ability of our auditors to do accounting, where it came to the point where they said, we will not have any of our employees be on any of your phone calls ever again. You know, because we just want to get this done professionally, and we don't like being questioned on our professionalism by people who are not accountants. You know, so we've been able to get through our audits, no problem. So I have 100% faith, as does the auditing firm, that we'll get through this audit also without a problem. It's just getting the money to pay the auditors at this point that we're working on.
Thank
but,
you.
But yeah, there's no problem. We'll get through it. 100% confident with that.
And Julie to the stack.
Okay, Julie, I've got to say we are out of time. And so I'm going to have to ask for a move to extend. And if everyone will bear with us, if we can make it 15 minutes, I'd like to spend at least that much time going over the budget timelines that we have as our next item. These are fascinating conversations. We're catching up on a lot of important information, but we also have to do some basic work in the committee. So, Julie, could you give us a motion to extend?
Yes, I move to extend for 15 minutes.
Thank you, Julie. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Thank you all. Go ahead, Julie.
A couple quick things. I found the date. We switched to accrual basis for accounting in 1996. So a long time ago, not quite 30, but almost 30 years ago. And then I just wanted to, on top of what Stephanie said in response to Teresa's question, yes, we need to be able to pay the auditors so that we can get going with the audit, because they don't work for free. But the other thing is that the audits really have gotten better over the last bunch of years. Even though our financial situation isn't great, the point is the auditors were able to give us a clean opinion last year, an unqualified opinion, which is to say that they thought our books accurately represented, our financial situation. For the first time in many years, exactly, because we were super duper behind on audits for a bunch of years. The pension audits hadn't been done, but, you know, so there were all kinds of reasons why they couldn't give us that kind of clean opinion, and now they can. Now what we have to do is, you know, as Stephanie said, you know, stop fighting each other and make forward progress on, you know, making the units financially sound so that, you know, we continue to exist. And but it's not as bad as it might sound. But we do have to, we still have a lot of work to go, but we're on the upswing. That's the way I look at it.
Well said. All right. Let's close out this item and move on to the next item, which again, our call should be number 9 on the agenda. No, it should be number 8. Number 10 should be number 9. So, that is select budget timelines. ARPAL sent out us a variety of budget timelines about a month ago for us to review. We've not reached this item on the agenda a couple of meetings in a row. And now here we are. And so, ARPAL, I wonder if you might give us a refresher review of the various choices and how we may need to tweak certain things so that we can proceed with considering this.
Okay. I have just sent out, I have forwarded again what I'd sent out previously. It talks a little bit about the timelines, and there's a PDF attached to it that gives an idea of, you know, what this might be. So basically, right now, with what I put together, we're kind of behind time a little bit because I sent this out last month. We have a set of deadlines. we have a set of who initiates things and we have what the action is. And it starts out on April 15th. So the thing is, if the executive director has already told management people to start putting together a draft FY24 budget, we might actually be in compliance with the timetable. So if that's happened, we're in it. Then we have a bunch of things that look like they would happen on May 15th, on or about May 15th. And they are generally things that general managers and business managers would do, like submitting the draft budgets to local finance committees, generating draft budgets for all of the units, and also the executive director and national business manager would give the NFC their estimate of how much money the national office will need for all of FY24. We then get down to the next item, which is local finance committees considering stations' draft budget proposals. Of course, this means we have to have those in hand for the various local finance committees, and they don't all meet on the same regular basis. And I was thinking, if you look in the PDF I sent out, that item, the date until May 31st, is in red because I'm not sure about that. That's something we would need to discuss a bit. Next, we have maybe in early June, the executive director and national business manager review the draft budgets of all divisions for reality checks. And I don't know, I'm not sure if that is something we really need to put in there, or if it could be, you know, just, don't bother with that part. They'll do that automatically or something like that. Next is draft FY24 station budgets submitted to the LSBs. That would come from the local finance committee if the station has one. And I'm tentatively putting that in for maybe no later than June 30th, which, on the other hand, most LSBs tend to meet on the second Wednesday, although some meet on weekends. So not everybody meets on the same time with LSBs either. Then we have something that's classic, that's been in all of the timelines, and that's July 31st is the deadline for the LSBs to pass the FY24 budget. And in the past, some did it by that deadline, some didn't. Some missed the deadline, but it didn't matter because we didn't get to their stuff very soon, so they passed it in August or something, or even later, and it was gotten to. After that, we have some things like a deadline for the National Office PRA and Pacifica Affiliates Network budgets to be submitted to the NFC, and the Executive Director and National Business Manager review, compile, and distribute the final budget proposals to the NFC for approval. Then we have review of the final national office budget, and then we have making recommendations for PNB adoption. And those things are between July 31st and September 1st, which means that's all stuff going on in August. So it makes for a very busy August, unless we figure some of this is just going to happen kind of automatically. We can maybe concatenate some of that together, maybe. Then September 1st, distribute the final budget proposals to the PNB. And then no later than September 30th, the PNB would get to adopt the budgets for FY24 starting October 1st. And so the idea there is September 1st, no later than September 1st, get the final budget proposals to the PNB. Then they have all of September to look at them and grind their way through them. So basically we have kind of a beginning, middle, and end. It's sort of like a chess game. the first thing, April 15th, maybe we've done that already. Then we've got some stuff in May we need to do, and some of that maybe doesn't have to get done. Then we have some June issues we have to do with local folks and governance dealing with budgets. Then we have July 31st, the deadline we've had for so many years of the LSB's passing stuff. After that, we've got a very busy August, and then we're almost done with it. So, again, this is stuff that we have to decide and talk about because, again, what happens in August is kind of open, and some of these things we may just want to say we don't have to write that down. Anyway, that's what I came up with, and there it is, and it's certainly something we need to discuss. That's pretty much it for me.
Well, thank you, R. Paul. I'm going to ask people for general questions first, comments, and then R. Paul, perhaps if you wouldn't mind, if we could go through that again one at a time and discuss it, you know, as appropriate. So does anybody have any questions, any general comments?
Well, this is Sharon. I just wanted to let you know that I finally did just join the call, so I'm here.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks
okay,
for letting
thanks.
Us know you're here.
Okay.
Good.
Could I ask, are there any other directors on the call who are not members? There was one
Dingman
before we started. I don't know if he's still here.
Dingman
was okay, answer
here.
Seems to be no. Thank you.
Okay, any questions or comments about the tentative timeline that R. Paul laid out? R. Paul, do you want to then take us? I have one question. It was about the June reality check. If we were doing our quarterly reviews of budgetary performance at the units, maybe we wouldn't need that, which is, you know, what we're aspiring to do.
Well, okay, so this is what, the early June thing you're talking about? On the PDF, it's item number F. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, as I say, I'm not sure about this. Would that just be maybe something that the national office would automatically do, that we don't have to list? I you know, again, it's a reality check.
Yeah. But what I was suggesting is that if we're doing kind of a reality check as a, not necessarily of the new budget, but as an ongoing reality check on how the stations are performing on a quarterly basis, we might not need that reality check, or that, you know, we might all be aware of, you know, have it more at the front of mind about what we would need to review in that reality check.
That's a possibility.
So, you know, then maybe the ED could handle that. Any thoughts yourself, Stephanie, now that we're piling on things for you to do?
No, I mean, give me the timeline. We'll, you know, we'll meet it. If we want to put that on there, just as a reminder that we need to do these checks on a regular basis. If it's something we're already doing, great. One more thing we can check off is done. But having it on there, you know, could be a reminder to the people that see the list that we're going to be doing these checks on a regular basis to make sure that we're doing what we need to do.
Yep. Yeah. Stephanie, do you have any other comments in general about what R. Paul is laying out? I thought it sounded reasonable.
Yeah, that sounded great.
Yeah, actually, that's a better word. Agreed. Any other comments? R. Paul, do you want to walk us through the areas which you felt took special, you know, required some special attention?
Okay. May 15th is a date where we have a bunch of stuff happening on this. general managers and business managers are submitting the draft budgets. So they gotta have to actually have a draft budget on May 15th. And these things have to be sent first to the national office. And so they have to do that. And then the national office at that same date needs to tell the NFC the estimate of what the national office is going to need in terms of money for FY24. So May 15th has a whole lot of stuff going on in it. Some of that actually could be put together, I guess. The general managers and folks. Oh, well. Anyway, so I think some of that might be something we could put together to make it maybe look a little less daunting. So maybe there's that. Then they have item E, which is local finance committees consider stations draft budget proposals. And when do we start saying, you know, enough of that? I'm proposing maybe by May 31st. Thing is, again, the local finance committees don't meet in lockstep, and sometimes the meetings are interesting, and not everything gets done. And so if they don't get it done by May 31st, you know, what happens at that point in time? Maybe they have all of June to work on stuff, you know, because what you have is they start to consider these things. And then by June 30th, in this little proposal here, they got to send it to the LSB. So maybe like concatenate this into, I guess we still need to say when they get it, when it comes in and when it goes out. So the comes in would be maybe May 31st and then June 30th it goes out. So all of June would be those local finance committees meeting on their local budgets. And
that certainly sounds reasonable to me, Art Paul. And I think, you know, if we try to stretch it out and give them more time, people, you know, it's my experience in human nature that people will take as long as you give them. So maybe, and then, you know, if we just set a firm date for it to come in, and then, you know, again, following human nature, if some people don't, if some stations can't manage that, then, you know, we'll get it when we get it. But having a strong date, you know, firmly stated, I think might be helpful.
Okay. Understanding, of course, right now, this is April 25th we're talking about this. So we're talking about things happening in really rapid order for Pacifica. And so we need to keep that in mind. Maybe we should have done this in January. But
we do know that Marticia and Stephanie are working on this stuff. And again, we're not writing this just for this year. We're writing this hopefully for the future as well.
Yeah. Well, for the folks in the national office, they have, you know, it's more realistic the way what's laid out for them. Part of the issue is local finance committees. Do they meet? Do they meet often? Are they going to try and meet more often than usual and end up not getting a quorum, which is something I've run into at times? The local finance committees can run into some problems if they have to meet often. And June would be the time for them to do that. Then you get that the July 31st deadline for the LSBs to pass their budgets. In general, that's probably going to get put off till their August meeting, which, let's see, when will their August meetings be? This year. The August meetings will probably be, most of them will probably be August 9th, which is still, you know, good enough time for all of this, in my opinion. Then we have, as I say, this block of time on the PDF. It's items I through L, where we have the national office and some directors doing a bunch of things, which I think they can get done because it's a smaller group and they can just do the job. Then the NFC is going to have to review these things and make recommendations. Now, the thing is, we see how long it takes for the NFC to grind through the budgets. And I'm, you know, I don't know how we're going to do that because the next deadline would be, suggested deadline would be September 1st in order to give the PNB a full month to grind through the budgets themselves. So I don't know.
Can I comment on that, Arpal?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk.
Yeah, I think the reason that it takes the NFC so long to grind through the budgets is because we don't get them. You know, we'd be grinding through them right now if we had them, but we're not getting them yet. Hopefully, Markeisha and Stephanie are going to remedy that by helping prepare next year's budgets along with what they're doing with this year's budget, and hopefully that will get better. There was something else you said. I forgot what it was at the moment, so just
the other thing I said was that the executive director, the national business manager, and directors are doing a couple of things in there, and they'll probably be able to get that stuff done because it's a smaller group and they can work together like that. They don't have to worry about quorums and disruptions. There's something else. Now, again, if we're sitting around, all of this doesn't work at all. If the NFC in August is sitting around saying, well, we don't have any budgets yet, the whole thing collapses then. So there's that.
I did remember the other thing I wanted to say, which was as far as at the PNB goes, and I'll say this not just for the PNB, but for the NFC as well. We don't do enough for my, you know, as I would prefer, of going through the budgets line by line and really looking at them in detail. We really kind of do an overview and it's kind of a flyby almost. But in fact, on the PNB, the budgets have gone up. It's taken 10, 15 minutes for the national board to look at them. They get the assurance that it was passed by such and such a vote in the NFC, and they get adopted based on basically the representation of the committee. So I'm hoping that won't be too difficult on that end.
Okay, so you figure September will be pretty easy for the PNB, and maybe if things get pushed a little bit into September instead of September 1st, it would still be acceptable, and they could still maybe get everything done by September 30th. They're really close to it, you think, right?
I don't mind saying that as a possibility here and now, but I'd rather just have it in the motion that I'm hoping we're going to work out here, it would be done by September 1st, of course, or by August 31st.
Okay. So there are some questions here that I've had for this whole thing. Again, we have some hard points. One hard point is it's April 25th already, and one deadline was 10 days ago. The other hard point is July 31st, when the LSBs should pass their FY24 budgets. I say a hard point because it's a hard point in this, a hard point as in attaching to something like an aircraft, something to attach stuff to, something that's really there, okay? July 31st, understanding it may shift a bit into August. And then we have September 30th, which is when we need to have the budgets adopted. I don't know. What do other people think? I've been mostly, wondering what other people think. How realistic is some of this? I mean, apparently the executive director figures item F about the reality check is okay. We could leave that in, I think you said, right? And one of the dicey things is going to be the May issues of generating the budgets and getting the local finance committees to be able to start doing stuff.
Do we want a motion to pass this, or is that what you're asking for at this point?
I'm not. I'm throwing this up to people, and the chair wants to pass a motion right now. I don't know. It's up to everybody else. I've looked at it, and I don't know that it's all that great, but that's what I could do. So I'm not asking for a motion.
It may not be perfect, Art Ball, and it may not, as we all know, it may not play out in reality exactly as prescribed, but it's something. And if we get something on the table and get something passed, it'll give people targets, something to aim at. And theoretically, as we do this once and then again, it'll become a habit and a pattern, and everybody will have those dates etched in their brains. And it will help it'll help us bring the processes together and keep them moving. That's my hope.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't think
come
that
out
we
of
need
that.
It. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kamau. Thank you.
So I think it's a pretty well put together document. I think it's actually a very compact kind of timeline. For me, I would probably start out even earlier than that April 15th date. Stephanie earlier alluded to doing some projections and in the current year right now. And I think if we can go through with our checks and balances in the current year, that should also be able to drive the budgeting process a little earlier in the fiscal. So maybe somewhere around, mid-February after, or maybe even March, mid-March. In that way, it gives the GMs and the management enough time. See, everything I'm hearing about financial record keeping locally is that they don't have the time to do it. And it's really frustrating for all of us because we're offering assistance, in that area, but it's as if it goes on deaf ears. It's kind of similar to what Stephanie was saying earlier. And so for me, I would just give ourselves some more time in order to get it done, because I think we're going to get some pushback from the local management around, their time to kind of deal with the financials and the budget and raising money and, keeping staff, upbeat and everything like that. So that'd be my suggestion.
Anybody else?
I heard somebody.
Well, I would say my suggestion, you set a date for reality check. I think that has to be an internal thing. I don't think we need to have a meeting to review reality check. If we're not dealing in reality, it should be caught right away. I mean, I'm assuming that the general managers are going to work really hard with the boards to create the budgets. And in the meantime, if for example, a general manager has a board or a finance committee that's not cooperating, I would imagine the general manager will talk to the executive director and say, hey, reality check, we need to do something. So I cannot imagine what a whole meeting to discuss reality check would be, why the necessity of it. I don't think that we say, okay, well, we're not going to think about reality until such and such date. So I just say, get these budgets in and make sure, I would expect the general managers and the ED to generate together budgets that are realistic to start with and get them in by that date. So we can actually concentrate on raising money and dealing with our expenses as efficiently as possible rather than pie in the sky. I mean, really just roll up our sleeves, try to create the best budget possible that are realistic and credible. Thank you.
I have a question.
Could I note that that item is only the executive director and the national business manager do that. And we could just strike that out and say they're going to do that anyway. So what's that?
It's kind of what they are doing now, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.